Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
For those of you who are guests here, we want to welcome you to Every Nation Brisbane. My name is Nelly. Can we give it up for all the people who are here visiting with us this weekend? Especially the mothers. Shout out. We're in a series. Actually, this is the final installment in the series that we're in right now called Prodigal God. We've been going through the book of Luke chapter 15, but I'm actually going to start from a different place because this will set up our message today nicely, I feel. Anyway, if you've got your Bible, go with me to Romans 8, and if you can, stand to your feet in reverence for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 8. Let's all read together. It says here, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Father, I thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your Son. Thank you that we get to be conformed to his image, his perfection, the picture of who he is. And so, God, I'm praying that you will help me to do justice in the teaching of your word. Lord, that you'd fill me by your Holy Spirit to be able to execute the delivery of this word, of this great message, which has transformed my life. And Lord, I'm praying that it would indeed transform the lives of those here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, go ahead and take a seat. The title of my message today is called The True Elder Brother. The True Elder Brother. Now, as we've been going through Luke chapter 15, for those of you who haven't had a chance to be here over the last 4 weeks, as we were going through Luke 15, we highlight three particular stories that Jesus told. Firstly, let me give you the setting. Jesus is hanging out with tax collectors, and these tax collectors are of bad reputation. They're of ill repute, okay? This is not just like your tax accountants that we have in Brisbane here. These guys were renowned as swindlers, as people who often cheat, and Jesus is hanging out with them. But behind them is this crowd of Pharisees who are criticizing Jesus for spending time with these Pharisees. And so seeing the Pharisees, the Bible says that he began to tell these stories. And he tells these three stories back to back. And you don't find them anywhere else in the scriptures but Luke 15. But they are pertinent to the heart of God. If you want to see the heart of God, I think Luke 15 is a great passage to marinate on, which we have been doing for the last month. And so I wanted to give you some highlights and the similarities between these three stories. The three stories are the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost or the prodigal son. For those of you who grew up in Sunday school, never understood what that word prodigal means, but it's called the prodigal son. That's how I grew up hearing it anyway. But the prodigal son, so lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. There are similarities in all of these stories, but one major difference in the lost son, which is the story that we've been looking at for the last 4 weeks. And so I wanted to highlight these differences here. So firstly, the similarities are that something of great value is lost. Secondly, it is found again. And then thirdly, there is a celebration that happens, right? There's a party. And this is important because like that crowd that Jesus is talking to, there is a proclivity towards us being one or the other, either swindlers like the tax collectors or religious like the Pharisees. But the major difference in the third story of the lost son is although in the lost sheep story, the shepherd leaves the fold and goes after that one who leaves the 99. In the story of the lost coin, the woman leaves everything that she's doing and turns her house upside down in this virtuous search of that one particular coin. It must have been of supreme value. But in the story of the lost son, no one goes after the son. The son comes to himself and comes home. That's a major difference. Again, understand the context of who Jesus is talking to, Pharisees and tax collectors. The question is, and you've got to see these three stories, not as separate stories, like if you look in your Bible, I'm sure there's a headline that covers each of those stories. When you understand hermeneutics, hermeneutics is just a flash way of saying contextualized understanding of the scriptures, that when Luke originally wrote his gospel, he did not write chapter 1, chapter 2. That was all divided much later and subdivided by other biblical editors later. That's all added for our ease. But if we actually look, there's a flow in what's happening. He's actually telling these three stories as one story. Many of us have heard jokes, right, where you have always got three characters and then the third character is the one who falls for it, right? And so in the same way, you've got three stories, and then the third story is the punchline. Nobody went after the lost son. And that's on purpose. It's not like Jesus forgot, oh, I'm supposed to include somebody going out for the lost son. The question then arises amongst the crowd, who should have gone out? Who should have gone out to find the lost son? Who should have gone out and searched for him? Now, if you know me, my family is a little bit of an oxymoron because I am Samoan, but my family, I only have one sibling. That's the oxymoron. Like most Samoan families have an average of 32 siblings. No, I'm just kidding. And I heard Filipino families are like that too. So I'm the eldest of two. I have a younger sister. Many of you have met her. She's visited here. She's even spoken in our church. Her and her husband pastor our church in South Auckland. And this is a photo of me at the age. I'm scared to show you this photo. You're going to laugh at me. Jesus, cover me. Jesus, be a fence around me. I'm at the age of 10, and she's at the age of 7. Check out my MacGyver haircut. Yeah. I used to be skinny, everybody. That's right. It's a miracle. God gave me the full gospel now, you know. And so this is us in Paihia, one of my favorite spots, at least my favorite spot in the North Island of New Zealand. And so that's my sister there. That's me giving the look like I can actually do something if someone touches my sister. But I am definitely my sister's keeper. And so if anything happened to my sister, Big Brother's going to be out there looking for her. That's just the way we were raised in Samoan culture. How many of you Samoans can verify that? Like if anything happened to your younger sibling, or for the males in here, if anything happened to your female sibling, you'd be out there. You'd be expected to be out there to look for your younger sibling or your female sibling. How many of you came from cultures like that? Like that if anything happened to your sibling, then you'd be out there. There's not much difference in Hebrew culture. Because they would have all known, why didn't the older brother go out? He was supposed to be the one to go out. All my dad had to do was give me one look. You know, he didn't have to say anything. Or if he said anything, it would just be the great multilingual word. Hey. It's not even a word. It's not even he, H-E. It's hey. Yeah, okay, I got it. I'm going to go find her. Like that's all he has to say. Hey. That's the way it was in my household. And I know it's that way in many of your households, that when you are gone, praise God if you have siblings, that your sibling will be sent to find you. It was very much the same way in Hebrew culture. And so there was a gaping hole, especially in the Pharisees' understanding of this parable. They would have been asking, look, we know Hebrew culture better than anybody else, and we know that the older brother should have gone out. Jesus was holding a mirror up to the Pharisees. Timothy Keller, in his book, Prodigal God, says it this way: by putting a flawed elder brother in the story, Jesus is inviting us to imagine and yearn for a true one, and we have him. I wanted to tell you this story. This is a story that was in Life magazine. Remember, Life magazine doesn't exist anymore. I'm just going to tell it. It's a feature in Life magazine back in the late 70s, and it's the story, not of Julie Andrews, who's pictured there. That's what Julie Andrews used to look like. It's a story that I first heard from a pastor named Edmund Clowney. He tells the story of a lieutenant by the name of Daniel Dawson, who was flying a reconnaissance plane over Vietnam during the Vietnam War, and it went missing. No one knew what had happened to it. And so they were expecting news as to what happened, because they hadn't heard anything with regards to his plane. And this is Daniel Dawson here. So they assumed that it was shot down, but that wasn't enough for his older brother. Life magazine wrote that, and this is kind of sad on Mother's Day, listen to this. When his brother Donald heard the report, he said he sold everything that he had and left his wife with $20. Okay, don't do that, husbands, right? At least put at least two zeros after that. And bought passage to Vietnam. So he sold everything that he had and bought passage, bought a way to get to Vietnam. And there he equipped himself with soldier's gear. He's not even a soldier, by the way. And wandered through guerrilla-controlled jungle looking for his brother. He carried leaflets picturing the plain and describing Vietnamese reward the reward for the news of the missing pilot. He became known as Ang Toi Phi Kong, the brother of the pilot. In the Life magazine, it goes on to talk about there was such respect for him amongst the Vietnamese community that no one touched him while he was roaming around looking for his brother. That's the sense of elder brothership that we find only in Christ. He leaves everything behind, sells everything that he has, and comes to find us. Isn't that beautiful? But we've got to ask ourselves, back to this parable, why didn't the older brother go out? There's many clues if we go back to Luke 15. If we look at verse 25, it says this, Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, this is the servant speaking to the brother, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. Now, that should be good news to the brother. We touched a little bit on this last week. We can get the podcast on our website. Most of you, like if your sibling was lost, right? It should be all of us, actually. Like if our sibling was lost and they find their way home, that should be reason for us to join in the party. But how does the older brother respond? He was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. Now, you got to understand also in Hebrew culture, the dynamic with the older son. See, the older son is the one who receives the inheritance. And so when the inheritance was split and the younger son took half of what the father had into the town, into the far off country and spent it on reckless living, that's where the word prodigal comes from. And we call it God a prodigal God because he is reckless in his love for us. Doesn't make sense. That means mathematically that the other half, which was everything that was still left in the house, belonged to the older son. It was all his. So rather than celebrating the fact that the younger son had come home, the younger son comes back and he sees the father put a ring on him. He sees the father put a robe on him. He sees him kill the fattened calf that he's been eyeing for years. He says, that stuff is all mine because it was all his. The other half of everything that was left behind belonged to the older son. Really? So rather than being in a place of celebration, he was in a place of entitlement, and anger rose up in him. See, older brothership asks the question, where's mine? A whole lot. Where's mine? Where's my blessing? Where's my opportunity to lead? Where's my husband/wife? Why can't I go to the couples retreat? Because you're not married. Where's my husband? Where's mine, God? How come they get one and I don't? The Greek word for worship is the word proskuneo, which means to lie flat on your face in reverence of God. See, when your face is flat on the ground, kissing and eating the carpet, you can't look around to compare yourself. This starts, we see this prefaced all the way in Genesis, right? When Cain kills Abel, rather than celebrating that Abel was anointed and chose the right sacrifice, he kills him. And he even poses the rhetorical question that he should have answered himself when God confronts him. He says, am I my brother's keeper? If I said that to my dad, am I my sister's keeper? I wouldn't keep my teeth. Am I my sister's? I'm the keeper. We as the church are our brother's keeper. Are our sisters keep? Why? Because there was one who was us as younger brothers, who was a keeper to us. Check this entitled older brother out. But at the same time, check our hearts. He says, but when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. Tim Keller goes on to say that the main barrier between Pharisees and God is not necessarily their sin, but their damnable good works. See, older brothers think that it's all about meeting a standard by mere behavior and by trying to attain righteousness through good works. And so when they're confronted with the fact that they need to confront their sin, they think, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. Maybe this much. I'm not as bad as the guys who are in prison. I'm not as bad as this person who did that and that I found out on Channel 9 News or whatever. Like, yeah, this guy, I'm not like them. See, what we need to repent of as older brother types is not necessarily, yes, it is necessarily our wrongdoing, but it's even the wrong motives of which we do the right things. We need to repent, not just for the wrongs, but for the right we have done with the wrong motives. Instagram righteousness. Take a photo of me as I feed this poor, impoverished kid. Take a photo of me with my life group that I'm leading. Take a photo of me doing this act of righteousness. God sees those photos and he sees right through with x-ray vision into your heart. And he says, your righteousness, as is my righteousness, like in Isaiah, is like filthy rags. We're even further away than the lost son was. See, the lost son was lost geographically, but the older son was in the house. And that's why the parable ends with him on the outside of the house, outside of the celebration, outside of the party. Philippians 2 puts it nicely. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. It's the heart of God. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, check this out, this is the true older brother. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Yes, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reason why we can exalt him is because he first humbled himself to reach us in our lostness. Jesus is extending love to both the older son and the younger son. See, you notice, although no one went out to the younger son, the father goes out to meet the younger son when he sees him in the distance. And even the knuckle-headed older son, the father goes out to meet him. I don't know about you, but if one of my kids was outside acting all bitter towards me because they didn't get as much as, you know, the other child, I don't know if I'd had the heart, to be honest, to go outside to them. I'd be like, yeah, pray for rain. So they can come inside humbled and wet. You know, so, you know, like, to be honest. But God still shows love towards the older brother. Jesus still standing as God in human flesh sees the Pharisee. He sees the tax collector, and it's obvious his love for the tax collector, but he's also showing love to the older brother. He's saying, I'm here for you as well. I am the older brother. And this is what he says to us as the true older brother. He says, I don't just leave to go to the far off country. I left heaven to come to earth to reach for you. And he says, if the inheritance that I received from that you've received in this life is gone, I'll bring him or her home at my expense. He pays the price for us to come back home. And this is not just to the next country, as I said, but it's from heaven to earth. Check this out. Let's go back to Romans 8 where we started this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be confronted and conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Many of us forget the context of this verse. Next verse says, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to catch this verse in the spirit. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Just like the father says to that son, look, everything, you've been here the whole time, and all that I have is yours. It's always been yours. But this is a time to celebrate, because your brother was once lost and now is found. When we read this verse behind me, verse 32, we begin to understand the value that God puts in every single one of you in this room today. He says, I laid my best on a cruel cross for all of us. If I will not spare my own son, who is the most precious thing in heaven to me, will I not pour out everything in heaven for you? If that's not enough to rattle and shake your heart to a place of worship, then you're worshiping a different God. You're worshiping a God of religion. God pursues you. And he says, and we understand that forgiveness costs, and guess who paid the price? It was the true older brother. And we need to constantly be in a place where we are moved by the price that has been paid for our forgiveness. Let me ask you again, as we close the series out, my brothers and sisters, if I can get you, just look up at me. Have we forgotten the price that has been paid for us? Or have we deceived ourselves into thinking just by mere church attendance, coming to meetings like this, or being around Christian activity, that that's what God was after? No, he's after the depth of a relationship with you. He paid the price that you may enter into that relationship. And this is the reason why he doesn't desire for us to squander this life any longer. He paid an awesome price. And like the great John Piper said, this is a call for us to not waste our lives on the petty things that this world has to offer. Squandering our inheritance on things that are temporal. He calls us to himself today. Will we respond? We've got to, you know, respond thankfully and be moved by the price that was paid for our forgiveness. And this is where I end this message today, is on the thought that there was an older brother. He's the greatest character in this passage that's completely missing, yet is so pertinent in the passage as to who he is, because he knew the Pharisees were wondering, okay, who was supposed to go out for him? And Jesus was telling the parable as if to say, you are, because I did. So this message is for all of us, whether we find ourselves in this room here, far from God. Just know that there is an older brother who has chased and pursued after you, and he draws you to himself. He says, no, don't feel like you have to come to this place altogether. I have paid the altogether price at Calvary that you can come in to my salvation, and I will make you whole. And the second group of people that he addresses today are those of us in this room who have embraced an older brotherish mentality, and he awakens within us. Who will go for us? The charge was not just to Isaiah, but it's for all of us as the church. Who will go for us? And we respond like Isaiah did. We respond like the true older brother did. Here am I. Send me.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.